Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number two starts now on an Friday in the big city. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel as we have some fun and talk about the sports that are and could be.
Somebody said it's played shirtless. So I'm all in now, for sure. Shirtless Kabaddi?
Ashton's got
to get
in on
that. You can't keep me off the court now, bro.
I mean,
well, there I goes. Love how you're so like fond of this new sport.
It's
well,
awesome.
Sport, I don't want to say new sport and disrespect it.
It's been around. I'm on the wiki page. How long do you think it's been around?
I mean, can I say 2 decades? 3 decades?
No.
It was a demonstration sport in the 1936 Olympics.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know.
Here it's been a demonstration sport at recess when people played the real sport of Red Rover.
I feel like it's like one of those ancient games, right? But I don't
like rock pelting or whatever.
Rock pelting?
Anything could be called an ancient sport because they did it once or twice.
I don't know. Yeah, I've literally tapped out on my knowledge of kabaddi.
Thank God for all of us.
So Clint Capella like puts a post out to like reflect on his time.
Yeah.
But I want someone to read the post in their best Clint Capella voice. Can you do a good Clint? Can you do a good Capella?
No, I'm not. I don't remember. I know he has an accent to some degree, but
Capella?
I can't.
I feel like it would be racist if we did a Clint
Capella.
I'd
have
Why?
To hear,
I don't know.
I'd have to hear a soundbite with him or two and then try it. Because everybody says he's the nicest guy on the planet. He used to do every interview I've ever asked him to do. He was always nice, but he was like first, you know, really when he first got here. So he was kind of shy and whatever. But, you know, you see the Fagan stories, the Kelly Eco stories where he said, never even ask. Always know that I will do interviews with you. I'll answer questions. I'll do all those things, which was always
very cool.
Very cool. But yeah, I don't know that I could do an impersonation. But speaking of that, Nicholas.
His post just says, thank you, Houston. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, there was another one.
On IG?
Yeah, I retweeted that. I did see that.
On IG or what?
It might have been on IG, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The gram, as the kids call it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. I see it's on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of Capella,
and
you're going to do your little joke anyway, so you might as well get off your chair so that if I drop this, you can pick it up. I was working out last night at the gym and get done and look down into the basketball courts, and I look closely and I go, is that Dream? And so I go downstairs and Taylor's in the children's area doing she has a couple classes. So I go down and Akeem is working with one of his best friends, Frank Rutherford's AAU team of young kids. And it was so amazing. I mean, first of all, it was great to catch up with him I hadn't seen him in a while. And it was very, very cool. He met Taylor for the first time, and Taylor, who's normally kind of shy at first, was like, high five, Akeem. And they were, and of course he looked at her and he goes, she has your cheeks. And I was nice. Like, yeah, as a girl, you don't want to have my cheeks. But he was so focused on trying to help these kids get better. And it wasn't like you see a lot of the AAU kids that are screamers and like demonstrative and get, you know, real intense. He would look with just like so much focus. And then he would just wait. He had to ask to say if he could say something to the kids. But he was so great about like trying to get these kids to learn a little thing here or there to be better.
That's cool.
But we were talking Rockets. And that's the first thing he said to me was like, did they really get rid of Capella? Why? You don't have a rim protector. Do you remember how we played? And I go, Dream, I'm with you. Like, I don't know if this is going to work, but you know that Capella was one of those guys that from the time he saw Dream for the first time was like, help me. I'm here. Anytime you say be here, I will be here.
Of course.
And I think
you'd be stupid not to if you're a big in Houston.
Absolutely, Dwight Howard. And I think that it was so great that he cares so much that he was just saying, basically, I don't understand it. He goes, they have to have everybody in on these decisions, right? And I go, not necessarily. I don't know if it's Daryl and Mike or if it's just Daryl. And I was like, you said, maybe they did get together and talk about it and say this is our only chance to really, you know, take the league by storm and do something differently with a chance to win. But I can tell you right now that he was legitimately concerned about not having a guy over six, you know, close to 7 foot that can protect the rim anymore. But it was cool to see his level of concern. And also, like I said, the main thing was how great he was working with the kids.
That is very cool. And now I'm curious what joke you thought I would make about all that.
Oh, no, you always, whenever I say, like, I ran into somebody or whatever, you're like, oops, you dropped that. Let me get that for you because I dropped
your name. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously, the Houston legend that everybody loves. And I believe one of my buddies said that he has a son at one of the local high schools playing ball now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
And Abby Sola, his first daughter, was really good player at Oklahoma.
Yeah?
Yep. Cool. So he's in town for a while. So I thought that was a neat story to share, just that he's still in the community. He's helping these kids play better, and he also cares about the Rockets, obviously.
Excellent.
So there you have that. Anything on the social media front or anything that we need to catch up on or any messages worth
not really
getting into?
Chris Householder wants us to get a Usual Suspects Kabaddi tournament going.
I bet he does.
Maybe we could do that at the next listener party. We could do...
Everybody better sign releases.
Joel's Kabaddi team versus Barry's Kabaddi team.
Yeah, better sign releases.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it could get ugly, especially when alcohol's involved.
I'm bringing in a ringer. I'm going to go get Cody Stutes.
It's all right. I got Mark Schell.
If you participate in the weight loss program, you're not allowed to participate in the Kabaddi tournament. You're just not allowed to.
No, what are you kidding me? That's the pool of draftees.
If you participated in the Usual Suspects
that's where we're drafting
loss program.
From.
Nope.
Yeah.
Heavyweights are not allowed.
I got Ashton.
I mean, I feel like I just need Cody, and that's it.
Creighton.
You can't go three drafts in a row. You don't get three. What are you, the Oklahoma City Thunder?
It's just like anything else.
No.
If you have a certain amount of time to make a pick.
Teams, no.
And if you're telling us,
no,
I don't want this.
Oh, my God.
You said as long as you got Cody,
that is the most childish thing you've ever done.
I'm going to continue drafting.
I was talking to Nick.
I got Braddock.
Oh, my God.
You just blew another pick right
there. This is ridiculous.
I got Braddock, Creighton, Mark Schell.
Face it, nobody's getting past your head anyway. So you don't even need any more draft picks.
Then I'll be the goalie.
There's no goalie.
There's no ball.
There's no goalie in Kabaddi. Get it right. Just learn the sport before you start taking all the draft picks.
I'm competitive. I'm going to play. I just don't know the rules. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll be a coach or a GM. I ain't playing.
No, you're not allowed.
Wow.
Yeah, because you crapped all over. I don't want to watch that. Well, at least Joel and I will participate in it. You didn't remember? You don't want to play with a bunch of dudes in tights.
I'm so heartbroken that I can't be a part of this Kabaddi tournament, bro. Like
the one that's never going to happen.
Reconsider, please? Please?
No, you're not allowed.
You don't get to be in our, as Barry said, you don't get to wear the uniform.
Our overtly sexual Kabaddi tournament.
By the way,
I call skins.
It could be just like your. It could be like your jammers or whatever those swimming shorts are.
First of all, you could
make them Kabaddi uniforms.
And I don't want your skinny ass on my team to begin with.
I haven't worn jammers once.
Is that what they are called? Those Michael Phelps shorts or whatever.
When I was in my little swimming phase, that was over very quickly.
God, you swim like one lap. You're like, well, this sucks. Not doing this anymore.
I was really.
You
doing
mean I got to go back to the other end to get out of the pool?
I was doing it at the 24-hour fitness too, like right down the street, and shower and everything. And I did it for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, that was it.
Then you realized that you needed jammers.
I found
it all went haywire.
But in those 2.5 weeks, I didn't miss a single week.
I have found that once I invest in something, that's when I quit. I don't know why that is. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. I was when I did jiu-jitsu, when I was doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I didn't have a gi, and I was like, man, I'm not paying for a gi yet. I may not even like it. So someone was like, dude, I have an extra gi. Wash it. Use it. So I was using somebody else's gi for months.
Ugh.
I washed it.
Nasty.
What are you talking about?
Disgusting.
Oh my God, it's not their underwear. It's
that's
a
why you, that's why you got staff.
No, never got staff. I washed it. And then as soon as I decided to buy my own gi, I never rolled again. I was like, no. Same thing with Muay Thai. I went out and bought some really nice Muay Thai gloves. Never trained again.
Why didn't happen? Why didn't that happen to you with the whole lawn situation? Like, why couldn't you just give up on?
Because my lawn is there every day. Lawn is not a hobby.
You do have a lot.
Lawn is not a hobby. It's a lifestyle.
Okay. Plus, you have a lot of property.
I do have a lot of lawn.
It's like $3,000.
Sounds like a euphemism, but it's not.
Well, it's like 3,000 acres.
No,
he has his own zip code.
It's 1.3. Nice try. Hey, who's geeked up for the big Pakistan versus Canada kabaddi tournament?
Canada. I thought we were done with the Caboclo conversation.
Who's geeked up for Pakistan versus Canada? Anyone else? Feb 9, 6:30 p.m. It all goes. Can you believe Canada has a kabaddi team?
That is shocking to me. Is Steve Nash involved in that too? Because he's involved in everything Canada.
Break his little ass. These dudes are big mammoth men. They're not really that big.
Not really.
No, they're not. Kind of surprised. They have a list of teams that are in this tournament. England has a kabaddi team. Very surprised.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. Just surprising.
They look for something. They're looking for something to do.
Canada, Australia, England, Germany, Azerbaijan, Iran, and Sierra Leone.
There's even a women's kabaddi league.
I'll watch that.
Now, that's naked. Look out. Barry's in.
For sure.
If that's shirtless.
Yeah.
There goes your lingerie football league. They got to wear pads and helmets.
No. Now you're acting like I would. You wouldn't watch girls play naked Red Rover. I am all in on that.
Yeah, but that's.
Forget in lingerie football. Naked Red Rover? I'm in. I'll watch that. Put that on. I would watch that over the Super Bowl. Done. Joel, you wouldn't?
I'm not saying that I would. I would probably would view it. But okay. I'm just saying the lingerie football league had a short lifespan, but it would be surpassed if you could get the naked or the topless
totally.
Kabaddi.
You know why? Because they went out and got people to play football that looked like they played football and then put them in lingerie. Not a good combo. Early on, they didn't win.
Then they started getting intense about winning, and that's where it all went downhill.
Yeah, they got some.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. Winners. This is just the second hour of the 3-hour show, so there's plenty of opportunities for you to jump in and share some stuff with us on an FEF Friday as we continue to roll. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number, and hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 975.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, we're back. Second hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I guess people get stage fright about kabaddi.
Why?
You get callers that call and then they hang up because they realize they might have to address the fact that it's shirtless. I don't know.
I just think
you were all geeked up that someone was going to talk so kabaddi pumped. With you.
I was so pumped. Yeah, it said Larry wanted to talk kabaddi, and then Larry hung up. Maybe he had a they're back from commercial on the big kabaddi tournament, so he had to go because no one misses watching kabaddi. Nobody, not even me.
I won't miss it.
I tape them all.
I bet you do. With the VHS.
That was for you.
I appreciate it.
Look, there
that.
Are people that are like texting the show, I'm in. Kabaddi tournament, I'm in. I feel like we should do a field, like a, what was it called in elementary school? When they would get everywhere and you'd do like the turkey trot and all this stuff. The field day. Did y'all ever,
like
y'all
field, had
field day? No, field
I
day.
Did.
Field day, right? That's
yeah,
what it was called.
Field day.
Where everybody would do different activities. Where like my big thing where I shined.
Oh, boy.
As a third grader, was the turkey trot. No one could outrun me, bro. I was a distance runner.
Oh, I thought that was like an eating contest. I was like, yeah, that's for sure a fact. I thought that was like
I didn't get fat until I quit smoking, which was Yeah, as an adult. I was a very small, skinny kid. Yeah. So turkey trot was my thing. I didn't do good at the sprints, the sack race, and all that other stuff. Turkey trot, though, I excelled.
But you're legendary at the no-look half-court hook shot. Huh? Once you're legendary at the no-look half-court hook shot.
Yeah, bring that up for no reason.
School related.
Yeah.
You want me to go back to the ostrich races? No.
Huh? Oh, my championship ostrich race?
Are you happy now? I gave you a
It was a camel, up your first of all. It was a camel. Whatever. Put some respect
Hoping
on it.
To please.
Put some respect on it. Champion camel racer in your presence. Y'all didn't have field day.
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand.
At the end of the year, y'all didn't have, like, your version of the Wisconsin Kids Elementary School Olympics. That's what field day was.
It was
just like the school Olympics where everybody did a... that's because everybody was fat in Wisconsin and no one could run.
They probably had something similar, but they called it something different.
Let's just all go down to the soda. We probably had something better
to do than try and do something like that.
Let's just all go down to the soda shop and play some pinball. Was that it?
They would start running in the race, but then they would see cheese... And they would get distracted.
The soda shop so we could go play some pinball? Is that what you just said? Yes. Oh, yeah. Don't you know as we grab some curds on the way just to tighten us right up?
Tighten us right
oh,
up?
Oh, God. That's a big saying back there.
Tighten us right up.
So I'll give you an example. So you know what? I wasn't feeling so good today, but I grabbed me a couple of cans of Coke and a pack of gum. Tightened you right up. Felt great in about an hour. There was nothing like it. It was great.
So good.
It's just
so good. But I feel like
we did field trips.
Yeah.
We did lots of
things.
You'd
go down to the soda shop and meet the soda jerk.
We didn't have a soda shop.
Y'all didn't have the...
No.
In the 50s?
No, we did not.
I still struggle to tell the difference between the Minnesota accent and the Wisconsin accent. Is there a difference?
It's all the Midwest.
No, if you put all three together, I can tell the difference.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I you could tell the difference.
Yeah, you can tell.
Most people can.
You've been around there a lot.
Because I think the Minnesotans.
Minnesota's the A's are softer, and in Chicago and Illinois, they're harder.
Yeah, but I think Minnesotans will say A too, like Canadians. They'll give you a little more A in the dialogue.
I don't know.
They're more, yeah, you betcha, don't you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you betcha, don't you know?
The yas. I thought you betcha, don't you know, was more Wisconsin. Because that's the age where they really drag it out, because they'll say Wisconsin.
No one up there says Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know it for a fact, because I've been up there once.
Once.
Wow. At the airport, going to Vegas, I ran into this lady. I'm like, I can't tell if you're from Wisconsin or you're from Minnesota. I can't tell. She's like, you can tell I have an accent, though. I'm like, yeah. And she was the weirdest person, talking about how tequila makes her you-know-what bigger and all kinds of stuff.
What? Yep. What bigger?
She was talking with Robin and I about that kind of stuff.
Tequila makes her you-know-what bigger?
My.
Her Virginia?
Oh, no.
It makes your penis bigger?
The way you said that, I thought you were saying... Well,
and she said that right in front of Robin, too.
Quick, get an intern to run and get me some tequila.
Oh, it's in Todd's office. That's all we got to do.
Good.
You can have your choice of flavor.
Good. Whatever one makes it bigger, that's the flavor I want. Is that a thing?
I don't think that's true.
Google this.
I've had several shots of tequila, bro. Not true.
Still riding that... Yeah. Tiny train?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does tequila, I got to Google this now, make your penis
I love that too when I used
bigger.
To get the people from back home that would call and go, hey, your rackets don't look so good right now, huh?
Rackets.
And I'd go, boy, do you sound like, thank God I don't have that accent. They go, accent? What are you talking about? I ain't got no accent. I'm perfectly fine. I could do your job. They couldn't tell I was from the Midwest.
Everything I'm seeing on the Googles about tequila making your penis larger is just about how it gives you whiskey penis. Where
See?
Just you drink a lot and then it doesn't work.
Well, you're using up your quota now. We're not even in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing that lady was full of crap.
Yeah. I would agree with that sentiment.
She's a liar.
That's what I told Robin.
And so now you got that $500 tequila bill on the plane for nothing. All for naught.
I didn't pay for no.
No,
I'm not a big tequila guy anyway. So.
He expensed it. It's fine.
Oh, I will. You don't like tequila?
I really don't.
Margaritas?
I'll have it in a margarita. I would.
But I don't know.
I just like straight shots of tequila.
Yeah.
No, I can't. No.
Ooh.
Unless it's really, really smooth, like a really expensive shot.
I'm all right with that. I'm good. I don't mind. It's weird because I drink whiskey, but I don't like shooting whiskey. But I'll take shots of tequila or, Yeah, that's weird. Don't know.
Mesmerizing.
That lady lied. That lady lied. How about that?
It happens.
I was like, I really wish Joel was here so he could guess whether or not she has a Minnesota accent or what. Because I initially guessed Wisconsin right away.
A lot of times when I was working for the Rockets and they'd bring peak candidates in and we'd have to interview them. And before they could even, you know, ask too many questions, I'd go, so what part of Wisconsin are you from? They're like, well, I didn't tell you I was from Wisconsin. I go, you didn't have to because I'm from Wisconsin. It's simple.
No, the best one is the accent and the exit.
Say it again,
the accent.
The accent on what? I ain't got an accent.
I've got an exit. Like, he's like, this is what you sounded like. He sounded like he said, I got an exit, not an accent.
You got an accent. I ain't got an accent.
That's great.
It's colder than a witch's boob in a brass bra. That's cold in Wisconsin.
So good.
All right, that's the first half of The Usual Suspects. Second half comes up next. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show starting right now with Barry, Nick, and myself, Joel, in the studio at Gow. As we take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7.
Come get your boy.
I ain't getting anything. He's fine right where he's at.
Joel, come get your mans.
Nope.
I can't believe you said that.
People don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'm trying to be more professional on the air.
Discussed like right now, second half of the show. just a quick question.
I'm just saying, when are you gonna monitor
it and take notes.
Is this like, not taking me as seriously as I'd like them to be because I'm not professional enough.
Is this like a Monday thing? Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess like a Monday thing.
All right.
Like a New Year's resolution
for
2 months after the fact. Yeah. But yeah, for February. Or a month after the fact.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds cool. Real quick, did you notice that, did y'all know Louis C.K. was going to be in town this weekend?
No.
You know, he had all the issues.
To perform?
Yeah, he was at the Improv, sold it out.
Well, he's already weathered that initial storm, right, where he's been performing. Yeah. And
excuse me. Well, he was, like, last time he was here when I went, he was at Jones Hall, and I don't know where, if he'd been back since then, but you know, you go from Jones Hall to the Improv, pretty significant difference in capacity. The Improv holds 450, and he sold out, like, 4 shows or 5 shows. And he sold out within a week. And originally he was going to be here during World Series. So they moved it to this weekend because the tickets weren't selling because no one's going to go. Everyone's going to go to the World Series or watch it instead of go to a comedy show. So they moved it. Get to last night, cancels all the shows because he's got a family emergency.
Was it a family emergency or was it an emergency that the tickets weren't selling?
No, it sold out. Like every show sold out.
No, the guy still has a legit following. Like he's one of the guys that was able to weather the storm. He's also when I googled net worth, like richest comedians,
his net worth was
like way up there.
Where was I at?
You were not listed, sir.
Oh,
my apologies.
Okay,
yeah,
there was no Barry or a Laminack.
Wait till the 15 comes back. We talked about what a podcast can do when the 15 comes back. Freaking Barry's going top 10.
30,000 an episode, baby.
top 10. Episode 7. Yep. Didn't make it to 6. It's just I wasn't. If I had someone full-time to help me book that show and then edit it, I would totally do it. But I had to book it and edit it because Nick was like, yeah, I'm not doing this player.
No, I lobbied to be the executive producer.
And I tried to get you and you just like, nope. You just wouldn't show up.
Was that what happened?
I don't even remember. Didn't show up.
So I just like, you would record and I just wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
That was before Nick was professional. Now that Nick's going to be professional, you might want to revisit starting this whole thing up again. It's got a legitimate shot.
All right, Nick, I need you to book me. I'm going to send you a list of 30 viral celebrities. Get them all booked. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
I'll give you 10%.
10%?
Yeah.
What?
Nick, you're going to be a good percentage on tweet.
Of 30,000?
We got first show, Louise DK. Booked.
Going viral. He gets me like a coronavirus doctor. Not that viral, Nick. Not that viral. I got you some Asian lady that died because of the coronavirus. No, that's not what I wanted. Don't yell at me. I'm trying to be professional here.
By the way, I wasn't really too familiar with that virus, and everybody was like responding to my tweets from Vegas because they were like, oh, coronavirus. I'm like, man, I was so worried about it, but apparently it might be.
My favorite part was all of the jokes about Corona beer because they were so original.
Now, let me tell you this.
That was me being sarcastic.
Right.
I know that.
Okay.
The seriousness of the actual disease itself, though, but it shows you sometimes what's going on in other countries.
Yeah.
The doctor who thought he had it initially and made a big deal out of it and started telling the Chinese government, this is a big deal and it could get out of hand. He got arrested because the government was pissed off that he was going to start an epidemic of people panicking for no reason. He then got worse with it and was taking pictures of himself as he was admitted to the hospital and his health was deteriorating day by day. He died.
Damn.
Terrible. And the government the entire time thought he was just making it up. And he was under arrest.
Damn.
It's crazy.
And the crazy thing is now China will come out and deflect and say it's not a big deal and try to, oh, no, the U.S. is making a big deal out of
this.
That's
their MO. I mean, they've always been like that, honestly. They've always been like some sort of epidemic or anything like that comes around, that's what they do. They deflect.
Yeah. I was watching this. Have you watched anything on Netflix? Do you watch anything besides sports, Joel?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, whatever my wife's watching normally.
Amen to that, brother. Yeah. I feel you.
Married the Bachelorette.
Life. No, she's into reality TV. But if I see one more time, like, you know, I told you guys because the baby's on formula.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll do the overnight shifts a lot most times with the baby. But I go into the baby's room to start feeding her. Whenever I turn the TV on, what's it? She's a reality TV freak on all this stuff.
Okay.
And what's this? There's one on a boat where it's like the whole crew of
Boats
like
and Hoes. That's a good show.
You know what? I don't think that's the name of the show.
But
I'm going to tell you right now, it should be called that.
Boats and Hoes.
Because it's like, it's the skipper. The guy who's, I think it's his boat, but he always like hires new crew members. And then it's which crew member is banging the other crew member who's trying to bang one of the people that's a guest on the boat. And it's this like real life soap opera going on this boat. And I'm going, how do you watch this?
Are you talking about Below Deck?
That's what it is. Below Deck.
I've never seen a single episode.
Don't say that if you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm not.
Have you seen Below Deck?
No, I'm not watching that for sure.
Isn't that redneck comedy when they all talk about the size of their decks?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe it is.
It's a funny skit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she watches all that kind of crap. And I'm just like, what? And every Real Housewives. I don't care which one it is. She's watching.
I can see that.
No. I watched Nora and I watched a little three-part miniseries on Bill Gates.
Okay.
It's called Inside the Mind of Bill Gates or something like that.
I would watch that.
It was fascinating because he's like, you know, he got such a bad rap when the government sued Microsoft for a monopoly. And then it turns out, and most people don't know this. I didn't even know this. And I was an IT dork that watched a lot of that. But he basically, after the government came out and said it was a monopoly and all that, he went back on appeal and was vindicated. Like people were like, oh no, yeah, most of this was wrong and inaccurate and incorrect. But he's now really philanthropic. Like he, what's his name from Berkshire Hathaway? Big billionaire.
Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah. The richest man, like dude's from, he's from Omaha. Old man. I can't remember his name. Anyways, he's a billionaire. But he gave half of his monies, half of his $62 billion, he gave Warren Buffett. He gave half of his he gave $31 billion to the Bill, and I forget his wife's name, Foundation, which is, they do philanthropic work. So they were looking at creating better toilets so that in third world countries, their feces doesn't end up in the same water that they drink out of. He was trying to come up with, like, eradicate polio from the planet.
And he's been really, really close. There was like, at one point, there were like 33 cases of polio in Africa, in Nigeria, where it used to be like 700 a year.
Wow.
And almost the rest of the planet, no polio. But the interesting thing was, and the reason I brought this up, because we were talking about China, is that he and his team, and they spent so much money researching clean fuel, because he said global warming is a big issue. They found a clean, completely safe alternative using nuclear power. But there's literally zero risk in this kind of... They use like spent rods and nuclear waste and all this other stuff that's just sitting around. And so if there's ever a reactor meltdown like Chernobyl or Three Mile Island or whatever, there's like zero risk to the public. And the deal was actually going to be done. The only way they could make it work was to get and partner with China. And so it was like, this could literally save our planet. And then it had to be negotiated between the Trump administration and China's administration. And that's when Trump was like, oh, we get a raw deal and trade with China. And the whole thing fell apart. So it was like, part of that was China's fault. Part of it was our fault in this country. But the fascinating thing is that we were this close to a clean burning fuel for the planet. And because you had two countries with egos that can't get along, now the rest of us have to suffer because of it. I just found it to be fascinating.
See, and you got pissed off, didn't you?
I didn't get mad.
You just go get yourself a couple episodes of Below Deck. It'll all take care of itself.
No, thank you. I'll pass on that.
You'll be but more pissed highly off. Recommend, you spent that much time of your life you can't get back.
Highly recommend the Bill Gates documentary on Netflix. It was a fascinating look. Like, this dude just... You should see how many books he reads.
What's weird it's crazy. To me
I read like one book every 3 years.
So when I work for the Blazers,
he'll read like 10 in a week.
Like, I lived so much of like how wealthy those guys are too, because with Paul Allen and Bill Gates and all the things that was happening, and I was in charge of like making sure wherever Paul Allen was in the world that he could get Blazer games. Uh-huh. The yachts, the planes, the helicopter, all that's different stuff.
Crazy.
And you start thinking about it going, and oh my, then you started digesting like how much money they were worth.
At one point, he was worth $100 billion, Bill Gates was. $100 billion.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. That's just amazing to me.
It really is. It was crazy. And you know, and even and when you have money to spend, like, you know, Paul Allen created Blazer One, which was like the second ever private team charter plane that he owned for the Blazers. But part of the deal was in Blazer One was a full master bedroom for him.
What?
He had a bedroom with a big ass king size bed. So he would, cause he had to travel with the team. So wow. All the guys had like, you know, first class seats with where you could sleep in them. He had a freaking bedroom on the plane.
Okay. Dude, if you got me a private plane to fly on, I would, and every seat was first class. I'm not going to be mad that you got yourself a bedroom.
His house in Bellevue, Washington had a mini Rose Garden or Memorial Coliseum with the complete floor. And he wanted at least a couple times a year, the guys had to practice at his house.
Wow.
And then the biggest badass thing that I didn't verify for sure till I left the Blazers and started working for the Rockets, we were on the road trip in Portland and we were at shoot around. And all the guys were looking at the Rose Garden. I said, yeah, I was here when, you know, all the plans were being laid and we were talking about all these things. And one, the panels on the roof would rotate. So for basketball games, they would all go flat like a ceiling. So the sound would be a louder arena. Acoustically for concerts, they would open up so that the sound would travel. So we're looking at the roof and I go, see that right there? And they're like, what's that? And I go, that's the bay window to a one bedroom apartment on top of the Rose Garden. They're like, get out of here, man. And I was, that was the legend. And some of my friends from the Blazers were still there. I go, is it still a myth or a legend? And they go, well, if you go up there, if we can get the keys from Paul, he probably stays there. His mom was living there for a while. But he goes, really, basically, if he doesn't want to fly back, because he'd take a private plane back and forth from Washington. He goes, yeah, but if he there's a couple times a month he doesn't want to fly back to Seattle overnight. So, yeah, it's... He literally had the living room windows to an apartment on top of the Rose Garden that when the curtains were open looked right down onto center court.
That's insane.
Bad.
That's like, well, I think it was Hoffines that lived in the Astrodome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And crazy.
And that's the thing. He was single at the time.
I wouldn't get married.
He was dating Monica Seles at one point, the tennis player.
Uh-huh.
And if you've ever seen Paul Allen, and then you say, like, the Odd Couple, how does that happen? Well, one of the things, how it could happen is, you want to see my living room where I can show you the rose garden?
Oh, let me just show you my checking account. Yeah,
let me open the drapes.
That's it.
And then I'll open up other things.
By the way, not to disrespect her, it was Bill and Melinda Gates. And she's a big part of that foundation, so I just wanted to get the name out there. Okay. Also, hey, don't disrespect your wife or girlfriend this Valentine's Day. Make sure you get them something nice. You got 7 days, fellas. 7 days. February 14th is here. And let's be real, when it comes to the wife or the girlfriend, there's only one correct answer on Valentine's Day. It's jewelry, especially if you messed up and didn't get her something shiny or sparkly for Christmas. Don't make that mistake again. Go see my guy, Mark Klein, at Klein's Fine Jewelry. He's a family-owned business. They have been around since 1969. Whether it's rings, pendants, bracelets, earrings, watches, whatever it is in jewelry, it could be custom made. It doesn't matter. Mark is going to do it for you and at a better price than anybody in this city. And I speak from experience, all right? Before I ever started talking about Mark, I had friends telling me to go to Mark Klein and Klein's Fine Jewelry because I had promised to upgrade my wife's ring. So I decided I would take the chance. I went down there. Y'all, he searched all over the country, found me the best deal on this really nice diamond for my wife, made the ring exactly the way she wanted it, and I ended up looking like a hero. He will do the same for you. If you want quality jewelry, a terrific price, he will not be beaten on price or customer service. I promise you that. Give him a call right now. And look, just you can go into the store, and you can see if you don't like something that's in the store, he'll custom make something for you as well. Again, best prices, best customer service. It's all right there with Mark Klein and Klein's Fine Jewelry. Online at kleinsjewelry.com. That's kleinsjewelry.com. Also, go check them out. They're located at 5868 Westheimer, right around the corner from the station there. 5868 Westheimer. Mark's there all the time. Or if you can't make it out, just call him or text him on his personal cell phone. 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour two, 3 hour show, FEF Friday. Follow along, won't you? If you aren't familiar with the parameters, well, then you're not a suspect officially yet, but we welcome you aboard. Anyway, as we like to do, we give back to the suspects whenever we can, and that includes the world famous Harlem Globetrotters bringing their Pushing the Limits World Tour to the Fertitta Center at the University of Houston Saturday, February the 15th. By the way, Nick, that's the day after Valentine's Day, February the 15th, as well as Sunday, February the 16th. Caller number 14. 713-780-3776. Caller 14, 713-780-ESPN. You get a pair of tickets to see the Globetrotters up the ante and create even bigger moments and memories for Globetrotter fans, including a free fifth quarter post-game autograph session and meet and greet. Tickets on sale now if you don't win them. HarlemGlobetrotters.com.
That's cool. They stick around and do a meet and greet and autograph session.
When I was growing up, and they had the Globetrotters that were, like, known worldwide, like they were household names, like Curly Neal and Meadowlark Lemon and all those guys. They came to Milwaukee every year on New Year's Eve. And I think partially for our parents to make sure that we'd get out of the house and that a babysitter wouldn't have a whole lot to do, they would get tickets for me and my best friend, and we would go down there. And it never got old how entertaining and fun the Globetrotter shows would be.
Yeah, I never went to one. I mean, I watched them on TV. But my parents never took me to one.
And then just as haters. You got older, you were always like, okay, so now they're going to pretend to throw the water bucket on a fan, and it's going to be confetti, and then they're going to throw the actual water bucket. And you'd end up picking up some of the bits. But when we were kids, we loved them.
Yeah. Oh, I loved watching them. Yep. Don't get me wrong. I would have wanted to go. My parents were just cheap a-holes and never took me. So
that's where you get it.
What, the a-hole part? I'm not cheap.
Okay.
I am an a-hole, but I'm not cheap.
Well, it's a 50-50.
Okay. Did you hear Jessica Mendoza stepped down from the Mets?
Yeah.
So she resigned, and she's no longer doing Sunday night baseball, which is very disappointing. But she is expanding in her role at ESPN, apparently.
So she just signed an extension with ESPN today.
Don't like it. I liked her on Sunday night baseball.
But I'll say that to say this. Rob Manfred said the other day, when everybody was having their 2 cents worth on the Astros cheating scandal.
Uh-huh.
And you remember now, she was very vocal on how Mike Fiers did was wrong and expanding on that. And then Pedro Martinez also jumped in on it. And I was reading an article just the other day that said Commissioner Rob Manfred's got a real problem with the fact that you've got people that are in the quote-unquote media, but they're also working in the front office of baseball franchises because evidently not only Mendoza working for the Mets, but I believe Pedro was working for the Red Sox in some capacity. And he's like, we're going to have to do something about this because you can't have it both ways. And you can't be on, you know, being critical. And
you can't create the narrative.
Yeah, and you can also not be critical of guys on another team when you're working for another team. It's kind of like when
like being critical of another radio star. Oh, well, never mind.
It's like when Daryl Morey or Magic Johnson go on radio or TV and they want to talk. They get questions about a player on another team. Well, they can't comment on that without getting fined.
Yeah.
So you have to be real careful on the. So that's the kind of thing where it's you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yep.
And until the sports change their rules and laws of how they're going to govern things.
I'm a big fan, and I clicked on it because she was trending on Twitter.
Is that official? She's not doing Sunday Night Baseball anymore?
Yeah, I clicked on it. Andrew Marchand. Jessica Mendoza has resigned as a Mets advisor and will no longer be on Sunday Night Baseball. She will remain on ESPN doing weekday games, among other things. I really liked her, and I clicked on the trending topic of Jessica Mendoza on Twitter. I'm actually surprised at how many people are celebrating that she's not doing Sunday Night Baseball. I thought she was better than A-Rod. I thought she did a great job with Matt Vasgersian. I thought they did, you know, I don't know. I always thought she did a great job. I don't know why people hated on her. I guess it's just different strokes, different folks, but I liked her.
Yeah, and ESPN issued a statement that said not only the fact that she signed an extension, but she's going to become the first woman to serve as a solo analyst on national baseball telecasts when she does those weeknight games for ESPN this season. She's also going to become the first woman to serve as a World Series game analyst on national radio this season. Her increased appearances on ESPN led her to resign as that advisory role with the Mets and general manager Brady Van Wagenen. So I would think that kind of what you were talking about is what we've said all along. We enjoy her. She's an analyst that we can listen to, get things from informationally, and also her delivery and everything like that makes you want to hear more from her. That's why I couldn't understand them taking her off Sunday Night Baseball, because I think a lot of people feel the way we do, but it makes sense then that maybe she'll add more to the weekday telecast that aren't as popular or as watched as Sunday Night Baseball.
I do like that they're given the opportunity, because it did feel like kind of a crutch where it was like, okay, you got Matt Vasgersian, you just can't have Jessica Mendoza. We got to have A-Rod in the booth with her to bail her out. And I was like, she really didn't need it. She knows the sport. She's good at what she does. Mm-hmm. You know, what makes Matt Vasgersian never played baseball? Does that make him unqualified to do it? No. There's a lot of guys that break down baseball that never played. So what would be different with or you know, not allowed for Jessica Mendoza? It just didn't make sense to me. But I do like the fact that she's going to get her opportunities elsewhere. But I just – Sunday Night Baseball was something I watched a lot, and I really enjoyed her on that. So,
well, I like the fact, too, that – you know, she's got a very, very open-minded attitude towards everything, but she's not afraid to tackle the fundamentals of the game and break down a segment on hitting or something like that. But then what I really enjoyed was she also let her personality show, like she would do the features off the field. The one that comes to mind is when she drove from Bregman's house to the ballpark. And what kind of, you know, his drive, his commute, what he's listening to, what's going through his head on the way to the game, all those different things. Those were kind of off the beaten path stories that people are going to remember that she should get credit for.
But she could still break down an at bat.
Oh, no question.
She could still break down what's going on in the field. And I just thought she was really good at what she does. I think she's really good at what she does. And I'm glad that we're not hearing that she's gone. I'm glad about that.
I agree. Totally.
Chris Collins said, Barry, me too. She's maybe one of the only female analysts I like. Mm-hmm. Those come few and far between for me, and she was good.
I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you who another female analist that I really like.
Doris Burke.
Yep. That was my second.
Doris Burke is nailed.
She's outstanding.
Basketball.
She is outstanding.
Yep. She gets, and the other thing that you can tell that she's good at what she does, the guys respect her.
Oh, yeah.
They know.
No doubt.
And I believe she's in the Hall of Fame now.
Well, let's be real. If we're just going to real talk this for a minute, and this is probably going to upset some ladies, and that's okay. There are so many females in the business of sports that are trying to make it on their looks.
They don't want to. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to say it. But it's like, oh well, I'm pretty and I like to watch sports, so I should get a job, right? Well, no, that's why I really, that's why I gravitated to Jessica Mendoza and Doris Burke, because they know the sport. They're not worried about, you're not going to see Doris Burke posting selfies on her Instagram or whatever. Like, Doris Burke is a professional. She wants to be taken seriously. She doesn't want to be treated differently. And she knows the game and she knows the sport and she knows, you know, the nuance of it. And she's really put in the work. And you know, I respect the hell out of that. Especially because she's as good as most of the guys doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things, man. And that's a, like this taboo thing to talk about that, oh, well, you know, that does that mean that you can't be pretty and qualified? No, that's not what that means at all. But it's just that so many females get into this thinking, well, all you have to do is have some looks and be photogenic and be able to talk on camera. And that may be true in some cases. That's going to get you certain things. But at the end of the day, people are going to see that you're a fraud if you're a fraud, male or female.
You still got to know your stuff.
You still have to know your stuff.
But again, it's also a fine line, because if you know your stuff and you're pretty and you're on social media, people are going to critique you anyway, yeah, and say you're just trying to get exposure and looks for how you dress or how you act, as opposed to seeing through that to realize they're actually bringing something
and,
to the
and
table.
And you know what? Let me jump on the other side and defend that. No one says that when it's a good-looking dude. No one's like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so is handsome. That must be the only reason. No, it's because it's unfortunate and it's unfair to women in this business. But women are always going to be, and we're guilty of it, where if someone's got a microphone and then we're like, oh, was she hot? Is she hot? Like, it's just, it sucks for them. But that's why I really like the fact that people like Doris Burke and Jessica Mendoza get work based on merit. And you don't look at Doris Burke and go, well, you know, I would. It's just, she's just good at what she does. Male or female, be damned. She's good at what she does.
The other thing I like about Jessica Mendoza, and Nick can back me up on this, is
she's hot.
But you get a lot of the female broadcasters you're talking about that are hot that suddenly then walk into a venue, basketball, football, baseball, and they act like they own the place.
Uh-huh.
And they're too,
or they, like,
and
they've never
too,
been there.
Too cool for school.
Yeah.
Well, when we saw Jessica Mendoza in the playoffs, she was like everybody's best friend. She was talking to people no matter who you were. If you had questions or she had questions, it was kind of like just, you know, just really comfortable, really easy to talk to. And you could say, you know what? She's cool.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she's so relatable on TV, is because people go, you know what? She's not trying to be something she's not, but what she is someone that knows the game of baseball, that presents it in such a way that I enjoy watching her on TV.
Yeah. So I agree. And it's just, for me, I around this business now for 6 years, and you guys have been around it for longer than me, but when you see people, not even female, it's just people get advancing not based on merit, it's maddening, whether it be male or female. And men advance for different reasons that has nothing to do with looks, but you still look at them and think they have no business being there. They were given it because who they know or the money that they played, and they're not good at it even though they played sports. So it's
nothing
just maddening.
Frustrates me more, but it's never going away.
No, it's not.
You know what is hour number two? That's where we got to cut the break, because we've got hour number three to get to. The final hour of the show comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.